flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Ah, can't you see it? A sparkling roadside EV quick charge power facility. It's chargers, control panels, and switchgear powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean. We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, football fans, are you obsessed with the game?
Oh, yeah.
Do you find yourself looking for breakdowns from every angle? For those who can't get enough, subscribe to Brian Baldinger's podcast, The Best Football Show, where he discusses the top teams and players from around the league each week.
That's what I watched this week, a dominant performance.
New episodes drop every weekday, including Trench Talk Tuesdays with former NFL lineman Mark Schlereth. Make sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
It is time to head out to the Toyota of Hollywood Hotline. Shop over 2,000 Toyotas on sale at one location. Toyota of Hollywood on 441 between Hollywood and Sheridan. ToyotaofHollywood.com.
All right, Woody, we got a lot of stuff to get to with Mike Florio from Pro Football Talk this morning. As I had the week off, and I didn't had a little Mike Florio buildup here this morning to get to. Boy, I'll tell you what, I start with the excitement of Allen and Mahomes. Here we go again. And the Jaden Daniels story, also a chance to win three playoff games and get to a Super Bowl as a rookie. Some great stories set up for these games.
You know, Jaden Daniels might already be the best quarterback in the NFC. And it sounds crazy when you think about it, but you start looking around. Who would you rather have than Jaden Daniels based upon where all the other quarterbacks are? He's one of the top three or four in the NFL right now because he's unflappable, unfazed, calm under all circumstances. He's never had a Sam Darnold moment. Now, it may only be one game away, but based upon what I've seen all year long, I don't think this kid's ever going to change. I don't care what the stakes are. He's played in big moments. He's played in big spots. He's calmed the whole team down. He has them believing that they can keep winning. And the biggest test comes on Sunday.
Mike, I know it's a big game, the Baltimore game, obviously, in Buffalo and everything around it. And then the Mark Andrews has two plays that will be on his mind the rest of his life. And the Lamar Jackson talk, everybody was under the microscope. And Lamar, and he makes all the money. You can't have the turnovers. What was your take on the criticism of both those guys? I'm just curious.
Well, first of all, the Mark Andrews play was not as easy as it looked. Lamar Jackson needed to throw the ball earlier. I didn't like the play design. I don't like cutting the field in half on a two-point conversion when you've got a talent like Lamar Jackson. Give him the whole field to survey. Give him the whole field to run to. Don't roll it to the right, the sprint right option play in that spot. When you have a quarterback like him, you don't need to rely on that. He needed to throw it earlier, and that's a tough catch. You're falling down in the snow, in the cold. You're trying to think, I got to catch the ball. I got to make sure my butt's in bounds once I catch the ball. I got to hold on to the ball. It's a lot there. I'm not making excuses. I'm just saying, let's not assume this was some routine play. This is a tougher catch than Jackie Smith in the back of the end zone in Super Bowl 13 when he dropped that one.
He's got to catch that ball. Mike, I love you. He got to catch that, though.
Well, but it's just, like I said, there are other factors to consider. Ball should have been thrown earlier. Lamar double clutched for no reason. Don't love the play. Don't love that circumstance. You're asking the guy to do a lot in a tough spot. Should he have caught it? Yes, but I understand why it didn't happen. With Lamar, though, bigger picture. You know, you hear all the talk in the aftermath of the game. He's eventually going to win a Super Bowl. He's eventually going to do it. Every time you're in the postseason, another year of your life has gone by. Another year of your career has gone by. You become more and more aware that you only got so many matches left in the box. You know, when you're rattling a box of matches around, and it's like, I only got a few left in here. I better make them count. Well, next year, what's he going to be pushing 30? He's getting closer and closer to 30. And then if you lose next year, then the next year the pressure is even higher. That's the thing. As you continue to fail to deliver, you get more and more pressure on you every time you get another chance. And it only comes around once a year. And I think that's the thing that we need to remember, especially because he said it himself before the playoff win over the Steelers. He gets antsy. He gets nervous. He's aware of the circumstances and the stakes. It only gets worse as your narrative gets more and more chapters added to it.
Let's talk about the other quarterback, the other side of this thing, the Mahomes, and didn't have a lot of offense in that game. But, of course, the other story is the sideline flop, the favorable calls, the roughing the passer, the late slide where two guys collided and he barely got touched, and Mahomes got the benefit of the doubt on some of those calls. And I know the sideline flop, nothing was called, but is he getting favorable calls, Mike, or is this part of being a Super Bowl champion?
Well, first of all, Josh Allen flops all the time. He's perfected it. But we haven't seen a big flop from him falling forward, pratfall, like we saw from Mahomes. Here's what I think is going on. I don't think the NFL rigs games because I don't think the NFL is competent enough to rig games.
Right.
You'd have to be ready to kill people who know the truth, frankly, if you're going to rig games in the NFL. Too many people would know about it. You wouldn't keep them all quiet. That's impossible. But there's been an erosion of the firewall between football business and football integrity. And I think the more the officials hear and see comments about ratings and money and popularity and growth and what a big deal it is for the NFL when the playoffs are up over last year, they're down this year, both weekends. I think that trickles into the subconscious of these officials. And in that blink of an eye where the message goes from your brain down to your hand as it's on the flag, whether you're going to pull it out or not, I think the subconscious reality that certain players are more important to the business than others influences those decisions. And it's not about Mahomes and the Chiefs. It's about stars. It's about keeping the stars on the field. And I think that's where the bias comes in. And it's natural. I'm not saying it's right, but it's natural when the NFL is so focused on more, 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 your officials are going to hear that and they're going to act accordingly, even if they don't realize it.
Yeah. The 18-game, I love the article, by the way, 18-game regular season might be a little bit closer than everybody thought here, even before the next agreement. So you think that could happen? And by the way, I guess the big question would be, because we all think it's going to happen, what will the league have to give up to the players to get this done besides more money? Anything else? A bye week? A change in roster size? What do you think?
I think roster size is the one. The second bye week, even though Joe Burrow, the Bengals, has made the big pitch for that, and it's a compelling argument, they want to have President's Day weekend be Super Bowl weekend. Now, naturally, the 2026 season, the way it plays out, given that Labor Day is as late as it can be, the Super Bowl does land on President's Day weekend anyway. The next year, they haven't set the date yet for the Super Bowl. We know it's going to be in Atlanta. An extra week, if they start it right after Labor Day like they always do, that extra week would take it to President's Day weekend. I think that's what they're targeting. I don't know that. But, you know, people have said, well, they won't do 18 games until the next CBA, and the current one runs through the 2030 season. Yeah, but they can come up with a new agreement anytime they want to. And right now there's some dysfunction at the union. They got some issues in this transition from D. Smith to Lloyd Howell as the executive director, and they're looking to lay off half the staff, not lay off, voluntary buyouts with layoffs possibly coming after that. And I think if the NFL can dangle to the union an outcome where there's more money for the players and more roster spots, which means more union members, which means more union dues, I hate to be that cynical, but that's how business works. I think the NFL realizes this is an opportunity. You know, when they're on the ropes, punch them through. They're on the ropes, give them a hand and help them up. I think that's what the NFL is trying to do to get that 18 games. Because when it's come up in the past, there hasn't been any resistance. Dee Smith, when they wanted 17 games, said, over my dead body, basically. When Lloyd Howell was asked about 18 games, he said, who doesn't want more football? So yeah. I think it's just a matter of time before they reach a deal. And it could be sooner than we expect.
Are we going to see Aaron and Aaron together? I know people are going back and forth on this new coach, Aaron Glenn, keeping Aaron Rodgers around for one more year because it's the best option they have, or is he just too toxic?
Let's assume for a second that the Jets aren't completely and totally dysfunctional. Now, that may be hard to do, given the recent history of the team, but if they're not completely and totally dysfunctional, the interview process with Aaron Glenn included a frank conversation about what will happen if Aaron Glenn takes the job with Aaron Rodgers. I don't think Rodgers wants to be there. I think he's been needling Woody Johnson to just become kind of an irritant and an agitator. So they will make the first move. So they will decide to move on from him so he can paint himself as a victim and go somewhere else and have extra motivation to go out on top or whatever he wants to do. I don't think he wants to be back. And I can't imagine Aaron Glenn and whoever they hire as the GM to say, I got to have the guy who essentially was the catalyst to get our predecessors fired. Even though it wasn't his fault per se, that move, everything after that went completely sideways for the Jets. And it's just not worth it. They'll find another quarterback and they won't have that distraction and that issue. And the new regime can get off to a fresh start and a clean slate. I think that's what's going to happen.
All right. So the MVP thing has been talked about. Is this down to two guys for you, Josh Allen or Lamar Jackson? Or do you think it's already one guy's got it or somebody else?
Here's the problem. Because the AP, and I've got one of the votes, and I think they thought maybe when they gave me a vote, I'd shut up about any criticism I have of the process. And oops. I don't think they should put the all-pro teams out when they do. They come out the day before the start of the wild card round. You can typically tell from the all-pro voting who the MVP is. So when Lamar Jackson has the vast majority of the first-place votes for all-pro quarterback, and Josh Allen is clearly in second place, that's telling you Lamar Jackson's the MVP. The only question would have been, if Saquon Barkley had set the single-season rushing record, would that be enough to push him over the top? But I'll be stunned if it's not Lamar Jackson. And I know that, not because I know what the votes are. I know what the all-pro votes are, and we see that every year. Why not just keep the all-pro? Now, who's clamoring to know? We must know who the all-pros are 4 days after the season ends. They're making us wait for everything else until the Thursday before the Super Bowl. Why not hold that until the Friday before the Super Bowl? Make a little news cycle the day after the awards are out. There's no reason to do these things when they do them because it does give a pretty clear insight as to who the MVP is going to be.
Yeah. Where, how would you vote? What are you thinking?
Well, I've already made my vote. I don't want to get myself in any more trouble than I already have. I'll tell you this, though. PFT has issued its MVP, and the PFT MVP is Lamar Jackson. Now, that's the product of conversations with myself and four other writers at PFT. So our MVP is Lamar Jackson. Yeah. And it wasn't easy. It wasn't easy, but more than 40 touchdown passes, four interceptions, first guy to ever do that. His numbers across the board were better this year than last year, and last year he was the MVP.
Yeah. Boy,
so it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
It's great. By the way, just getting back to that Jets thing. If they don't go with Aaron Rodgers, which, by the way, I think it's a long shot. I'm with you on that one. But if there's two quarterbacks in this draft, if you buy the Ward and Sanders, and they're picking seventh, are they thinking about moving up? Do they try to grab one of those, or do they do what some other teams look to see what veteran might be out there that can get them through another year?
Given that team's history of failing to develop young quarterbacks, and look at how it's embarrassed them with Geno Smith and Sam Darnold, and who knows, maybe one of these days Zach Wilson's going to end up being a pretty good starting quarterback. I would want a veteran, especially because this year it's not the same quality of class that we saw last year. Get a veteran. Get somebody that maybe Aaron Glenn knows, somebody Aaron Glenn will work with, somebody that they can get for an affordable price. There's going to be veterans out there. There will be veteran quarterbacks available, and I think that would be the easiest way. Get someone in there who knows the ropes, and then maybe take a flyer on a late-round guy or a mid-round guy and see if he can develop. I'm one of these guys that believes you should always be scouting quarterbacks, even when you have one, because you can never have too many of them.
We are finding that out down here, Mike. That's a very good, that's a very good one.
I didn't mean that. I didn't mean that with any specific team in mind, but you're right.
Oh, boy. We got our own stuff going on down here for sure. Hey, all right, who do you like to play in the Super Bowl? Who are you picking this week?
Well, I say this knowing there's a damn good chance I'm going to be 0-2, but the Commanders have really impressed me with their ability to just go in and take it. They went into Tampa, they took it. They went into Detroit, into the Lions' den, literally, and took it 45-31. They have no fear. They have no anxiety. They're calm. It's amazing. My only concern is sometimes when you keep winning games on house money, you eventually get to a point where the jackpot is big enough to freak you out. And I wonder if that'll happen. I don't think it will. I think they'll find a way to take this. I think they can contain Saquon Barkley, get in between 100 and 150 rushing yards, which ordinarily is a lot, but it's not 200. And you could still maybe win the game, even if he has that kind of a day. Force Jalen Hurts to beat you on the ground. He's got that left knee re-injury. And with his arm, their passing game isn't as developed as it could be because they rely too much on Saquon Barkley. I think they can take it. But who knows? And in the late one, it all comes down to who makes the big play in the key moment. Both teams can do it. It's how the Bills beat the Chiefs this year. The Bills are the only team that have beaten the Chiefs since Christmas Day of 2023 in a game the Chiefs were trying to win. Mm. And it was 4th-and-2 from the 26, and they didn't kick the field goal because they knew Patrick Mahomes was going to go right down the field and score a touchdown and beat him. So 4th-and-2, they left it in Josh Allen's hands. He ran it 26 yards for a touchdown. Here's the key. Here's what the Bills absolutely have to do. Keep the ball in Josh Allen's hands as often as possible, especially in key moments. Don't kick a field goal. Go for it and let Josh Allen run it. And I'd say when you go back to pass, one read, two read, run. Don't be thrown to your third or fourth option. If your first two options aren't open, run the ball and throw caution to the wind and do everything you can to knock the Chiefs out and advance to the Super Bowl for the first time in 30 years. 30 years, 31 years.
Wow. Sound like the Dolphins trying to win a playoff game. It's been so long. Mike, thank you, man. Really appreciate you coming on this morning.
Thanks, Joe. See you, buddy.
All right, Mike Flora from Pro Football Talk joining us. Talk a little bit about all the issues in the National Football League. Right now, I've got to tell you about Chev, the CEO of Loctite. Oh, my God. He calls me last night. I said, well, what's going on? He said, hey, this weather, just another reason to let people know that Loctite Impact Windows, Doors, and Roofing are ready to help you out and not wait for the next storm, not wait for hurricane season. One thing you can always do is protect your home. And if you don't have Impact Windows and Doors and you need a new roof, they do it all for you. You can get a great deal. No interest, no payments for a year, 100% financing, zero down. Roofing material, they do it all. They're roofing part of their company, tile, shingle, metal, flat, quality people. Very competitive prices to make sure you are taken care of. It's a one-stop shop for any problems you have with a company that is growing quickly from West Broward and covering all of South Florida, Dade, Broward, and Palm Beach County. Don't wait for the next storm when you have Loctite. They take care of all the permits and HOA approvals. You don't have to worry about anything. Loctite is a licensed and insured contractor. 954-500-LOCK. That's 954-500-LOCK. Call them today.